Hailing from Great Barrington, Massachusetts, Orion is a bi-monthly advertising-free magazine devoted to creating a stronger bond between people and nature. Founded in 1982, Orion occupies a distinct niche within the world of magazines, staking out the territory of ecology, the arts, action, and social justice. In a culture saturated by cynicism and single-issue thinking, Orion is a forum for anyone who is serious about the possibility of a peaceful, sustainable world. We talk about the magazine this morning as they celebrate their 30th anniversary. In celebration of the anniversary, Orion is publishing a series of books called Orion Readers. The first book, 30-Year Plan, is a collection of 30 original essays from important voices like Carl Safina, Elizabeth Colbert, and Terry Tempest Williams, as well as other luminaries who are actively thinking and acting on sketching out an agenda of forward and thoughtful movement regarding the landscape of change pertaining to environmental issues. To tell us more about the magazine, the book, and the mission, we are joined by Orion editor Jennifer Son, as well as best-selling writer and Orion magazine contributor and one of my favorite humans on the planet, Terry Tempest Williams. Good morning to both of you. Thank you very much for being with us.
Good morning, Joe. It's so great to hear your voice again.
Well, a great pleasure. Thank you very much for being with us. And Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you, Joe. It's great to be here.
You have been with the magazine for a large chunk of the 30 years.
Indeed, 20 of them.
Yes. So it seems that whenever I hear that, you know, it seems like, okay, it must be a pretty great place.
It's an amazing place. The magazine really is built around an idea that people, our nature, and the environment is everything that is. It's a very all-encompassing view of environment, really founded in ideas of imagination and beauty, really dedicated to depth in the conversation that happens in the pages. And it's a wonderful place to work. The people who all work there care very deeply about the work.
Terry, how did you first come involved with Orion?
Almost 20 years ago, if not more. I was drawn to the magazine because of what Jen said. It's beautiful. It is in depth. There's no advertising. There's an aesthetic there as well as a politic. And I admire the quality. And it also speaks to community. And that was important to me.
In speaking to community, Jen, I assume that's also one of your goals. I mean, that's the whole point, right? To bring us all together as a community.
Certainly. I think there's a very loyal readership, and the magazine has a very wide reach. And the ideas in it are beacons to draw people in and help them navigate the world that we all live in. And the new book, 30-Year Plan, is also intended to achieve that.
In that book, what were you hoping to do? It is a reader, and you brought together many of your contributing writers to what was their goal? What was the homework assignment for the book?
Well, the subtitle of the book is 30 Writers on What We Need to Build a Better Future. And the assignment, more or less, was to write about something that will be needed if we are going to have a better future than the one we live in, where there's some serious things bearing down on us, such as climate change, so social unrest, drought, fires, as of this summer, alarming. And so we were looking for something positive. We didn't want to underestimate the amount of work that has to be done. And yet, by phrasing this question, what do we need to build a better future, we're really asking people to think forward and think positive. And the range of responses are really delightful, ranging from the sort of serious and pragmatic to the more whimsical and emotional.
When you receive something like that, Terry, what was your initial thought?
You know, I think Jen is very modest, and what I want to say to you, Joe, is it was really, I have to say, her vision, and the way she approached me was, what one word, what one quality are we going to be most in need of for the future? And that's such a compelling question, and that's quintessential, Jen. I can honestly tell you, of all the editors I've worked with, she is the most fierce and probing and difficult and wondrous. I've worked with her on 4 very tough pieces. I trust her implicitly, and I literally would do anything she asked me to do, and it was a pleasure at a time.
Keep that in mind.
I noted
Jen,
that.
Yeah.
But I'm not just saying that. I mean, she's tough, and I just have to say, and I think the other writers would say as well, this was her vision, and we responded. And the thing that I'm most excited about this book is literally the table of contents. If you look at the way in which it's structured, each writer has a word, whether it's presence, a larger sense of time, faith, a consumer revolution, empathy. Each piece, which is short, is an idea. And I'm going to be using this in two of my classes as a thought exercise, which I think is really what this is. It's not so much a 30-year plan as thinking about, you know, as Calvino asked us, you know, what is necessary for us to proceed in a meaningful, compassionate way.
It seems as though when we think of your writing, Terry, and the mission of this magazine, that it's a perfect match. I mean, this is really what you have dedicated your career writing about.
And, you know, I'm not sure I would say it's a perfect match. There's an edge here, which is what I really appreciate. I'm not always in agreement. But what I love is that we always have the conversation. And what I most respect about Orion is that the magazine has evolved as we as individuals have evolved, as we've evolved as a community. And that, to me, is what's so powerful. I love that they allow controversy. I love that Paul Kingsworth writes, "We do not need a plan. What we need is to learn how to improvise, how to let go." And so there the conversation begins. What do we let go of? And I love how he then says we need to question our stories. So to me, Orion is about questioning. And if we start with that premise, then yes, it's a glorious place for me to be, and it's where I choose to write almost exclusively.
You're right. We are lost. We are in pain, and we don't know the cause of or the cure for what is making us sick. We long for something more when what we have is more than enough. We are becoming blind. We are becoming deaf. We are hobbling along the path of distractions, trying to find our way back or forward or sideways to a place of dreams. What is the dream? So then, how do we then look at the future?
You know, the word that I chose was tellurian. It means of Earth, belonging to Earth. What you read just sounds pretty grim, I have to say, my own critique of my own work. But it's really, the piece that I wrote is an ode, homage to the mountain gorilla in the Virunga National Park that borders Rwanda and the Congo. You know, last night, I just have to say, Joe, when we hear Mitt Romney, who is my cousin, I will tell you, my second cousin once removed, you know, quote, "President Obama promised to begin to slow the rise of the oceans and heal the planet. My promise is to help you and your family." You know, and there's laugh lines after, you know, as though climate change is madness and to heal the planet is a joke. That concerns me. And that makes me want to write and write and write. And I don't even know, I can't even talk about it. We have, you know, we are watching our country in a very serious philosophical divide, and never have, I think, voices of wisdom and sanity, been needed more. And to me, that's what Orion has given us with this reader, is a place of contemplation, a place of conversation, where science is not a laugh line at a Republican convention.
I'd like to jump in there and talk about that time frame for the book. It's the 30th anniversary, so picking a 30-year plan was a little bit in part because of the 30th anniversary. But in fact, there's a bigger reason for it, which is that when people talk about the future, And change, and especially with relation to climate change over the years, we've talked about, oh, we need to make change over the next century, or we need to make change over the next 50 years. We're really making a statement here with the title of this book that we think that the time frame is shortening rapidly. If you look at even since we have sent this book to press, what's been happening with the fires, the urgency is very real here. Change, the kind of change we're talking about, is not something to be really put off for the next generation. This is really our project now. That's one message of the book. But I can't talk about that without also talking about the positive side of that. For so many of the contributors to this book, and what I love is the sort of chorus of voices and opinion, the kind of change that's needed is going to be really redemptive. Tamar Adler writes about to eat with grace. It's a new way of eating that is just lovely and will be really good for us and make us happier. So many of the writers who've contributed to this book talk about needing to be happy with what we have instead of being fueled by a desire to consume. That's a really big idea that we really have to embrace, because we're consuming more than we're able to restore.
When I read the section a moment ago that Terry wrote in her essay, and she responded that it seems grim, for you as an editor, Jen, is it a balancing act to present starkly the challenges that we face with also giving us optimism and hope?
Oh, absolutely. I think that is so much of what distinguishes Orion in the common culture, is that the approach that we take in the magazine and in the book and with all of our work is very much to not leave people incapacitated. These are very serious issues that we're talking about, and some of the science and some of the numbers can be debilitating. But with the focus on beauty and truth and the artwork that appears in the magazine, that's a big part of the presentation, we are saying that there's more to it than that. And in fact, we cannot really confront the starkness without also being in love with the planet and being inspired by the beauty of it to make the change. I don't think it's the starkness of the numbers that will motivate people.
Mm. We had Bill McKibben on the program on Monday, and he said something that struck me, which was, you know, that he still remains optimistic, but there is a point where that optimism is going to run out.
I think for Bill, he's a tireless fighter and a dear friend, and I'm a regular contributor to Orion. I am so impressed by his depth of knowledge of the severity of the situation and his total dedication to working with young people, to really giving all that he has, to really inspiring people, to understanding that that's our work, to inspire people, to make them feel enabled to make change, to make them feel like there's a good reason to do it and that it's going to be good for them.
Mm. I have to go back, Terry, to your watching of the Republican National Convention last night and seeing your cousin be nominated for President of the United States, and what a conflicted feeling that must be.
It's conflicting. It is. I'll be honest, Joe. You know, Mitt Romney is a really good man, and I had enormous respect for his father in particular. My grandmother was born in Mexico, where Mitt's father was born. He said that they left because of the revolution. What he didn't say is that they arrived in Mexico because of persecution. You know, and I just think, where's the backstory? Where's the context? It felt like an I Like Ike speak from the 1950s in the Cold War. And I think the most troubling thing to me is the notion that we are special, that we deserve this lifestyle, that American exceptionalism. And, you know, I was thinking in anticipation of this conversation today how this book, these ideas, come from a very different point of view. We are not exceptional. We are not special. We are of Earth. We are of community. And how do we live in communion with one another, both human and wild, not as the exceptional American? And that's a very, very different philosophy.
And your piece in the 30-year plan, Terry, says that so beautifully. It is the last piece in the book. The book is not organized alphabetically, but what's interesting is that the first contributor, Diane Ackerman, alphabetically would go first, and Terry Tempest Williams alphabetically would go last. That those two bookends to the piece are really important to me. Diane Ackerman is writing about presence, and just a short quote from her piece: If we allow a sense of presence to steal up the bones and swirl through the rooms of the many-chambered heart, the planet becomes far too enchanting to ignore.
Mm. I love that, and I love Pete Seeger when he says, if you were thinking about eternity, you were thinking about God. And when I think about how many references to God last night in the Republican convention, actually all week, I can't help but think of Joseph Campbell when he said, what we are in need of is a God beyond God. And it's the mysteries. It's how well do we live with uncertainty. And I think it's the certainty, the certitude that concerns me with what we've been hearing this week.
And there's also that, you know, the great unknown, and yet we in many cases, in scientifically, can see the writing on the wall.
Exactly. And I don't think we're going to hear anything so different in the Democratic convention, I have to sadly say. Yesterday, the Obama administration gave the green light to Shell Oil. So, to me, the importance of a conversation, Joe, that you have on your show weekly, what Orion is doing consistently is creating this broader conversation that transcends politics to where we are at this moment in time on the planet.
When you look at the future of the magazine, Jen, I mean, there's obviously a lot of wonderful writers and a lot of great topics to write about.
Well, there certainly are. There's no shortage, and we're always pushing and finding new and creative ways to cover our so-called beat, as it were, the widest interpretation possible of what it means to be a Nature magazine, sort of where we're headed. Another thing that excites me about this 30-year plan book is that nearly half the contributors were new to us, hadn't been published in Orion before. And so we're building out, we're really pushing the boundaries. Some of the writers in here that I'm really excited to have: Julia Alvarez, Yvonne Chouinard, Rhianne Eisler, Elizabeth Colbert. There are so many names here that I hope to continue to work with. Anthony Doerr, the great, great stylists, but also really great, great theorists. And that's kind of the sweet spot for Orion Magazine. People who are really gifted with words and really, really deeply thoughtful people. People like Terry, who really know how to do both things exceptionally well and write in a very moving way about really, really important ideas where the reader is touched. The reader leaves the article not feeling certain about any particular thing that's been argued, but feeling a real sense of possibility for his or her own future, and really feeling supported in making the kinds of decisions that anyone has to make on a daily basis.
Orion Magazine is celebrating their 30th anniversary. You can find out more at orionmagazine.org. The first Orion book, 30-year plan, 30 writers on what we need to build a better future, is available on their website. Jennifer and Terry, I thank you very much for your wonderful work and for sharing with us this morning. A great pleasure.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Joe, and thank you for your voice in the world.
Thank you so much, Terry. Appreciate it. Again, you can find out more information at orionmagazine.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.